fighting for freedom every day. Broadcasting from the heartland of America.
The next generation in conservative talk radio.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. What's up? Welcome into the program, man. It is a pre-Friday celebration, greatest day of the entire week. It's time for us to carpe diem all over this place, if you know what I mean. So wonderful to have you with us here across the nation, wherever you may be watching, listening, hanging out with us. Doesn't matter. It's always a pleasure. Your Voice of Reason here doing its duty each and every single day. We got a loaded show for you today. Bottom of this hour, we have Catherine Engelbrecht. She is the chairwoman of True the Vote, talking about voter integrity. I know, something wild that we should be focusing on during election season. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Also, tonight, big night, man, State of the Union address. Anybody watching? Yeah, I know that you're excited on that one. We do have, by the way, we have some breaking news on this program. As I'm excited to, we have some leaked audio. As he's been working on his State of the Union address in the White House before he gets ready for the congressional appearance later on this evening, I believe that that speech is going to be right about 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central time. So right at the time that actually this broadcast airs in some radio markets out there. But that's okay. We have some leaked audio. So that way, if you are airing this program, then you know exactly what he's going to say as we go deep into the Biden basement.
Let's go into the Biden basement.
As the audio has officially been leaked of Joe Biden preparing for his State of the Union address later on tonight.
I'm prepared to say that I have a record of over 40 years and that I'm going to beat Joe Biden.
And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are. Well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough of that.
And we're going to create a new bio-based multi-manufacturing job environment.
That saves billions of gallons of gasoline. I mean, billions of 2.3 billion dollars worth of, $500 billion in savings and 2.something billion metric tons of CO2 going in the air.
Well, folks, eliminate one tax loophole out of $1.6 trillion worth. $1.4 trillion worth. Out of $1.4 trillion, it's hard to even say it, it's so much. And by the way, it's cost a lot of money. It cost about $740 billion.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him in.
There you go. There it is, the State of the Union speech. He is prepared. He is ready to go to address Congress, talk about his budget plan, talk about all his other priorities that he has on the docket later on this evening. The latest from the Biden basement, my friends.
Let's go into the Biden basement.
And on the program, we sat down with him just a little bit ago here on The Voice of Reason as we sat down with U.S. Senator Roger Marshall from right here in the great state of Kansas, where I hail from, to talk about what we could potentially see coming up with the State of the Union later on tonight. Senator, how are you, my friend?
Andy, it's great to be with you, but I got to tell you, the mood here in D.C., it feels more like a funeral or a morgue. It should be the State of the Union Day. We're going to have excitement, but I'm telling you, if you would walk through the Capitol today, you think it was a funeral rather than an exciting State of the Union speech coming tonight. It's a downer here.
I can imagine. I mean, the other side of the aisle has hit a few major blows this past week. We've seen Donald Trump wipe Super Tuesday just a few days ago, becoming really the presumptive nominee for the Republicans. Now the State of the Union with Joe Biden's polls numbers tanking. It seems like they're in a state of dismal right now.
Yeah, and we could go on here. The 9-0 Supreme Court victory for President Trump and really for the American voters. It wasn't 5-4. It was 9-0, just demonstrating how politicized the judicial system has become against Donald Trump. And you're right, Super Tuesday, I mean, it wasn't just it was an ass-whipping. It was an old-fashioned ass-whipping. Yeah. And it's time to move on, and all Republicans putting both barrels right there on Joe Biden and winning in November.
That is good news going into what we can see now is essentially the general election. But, Senator, let's talk about the State of the Union for a minute. What exactly do we expect to happen in this speech tonight? Because he's been doing his Investing in America tour across the nation. It's not really working with inflation still insanely high across the country. So what exactly do we expect to hear tonight?
Well, look, I think first and foremost, I think Joe Biden has to be able to convince the American public that he's physically and mentally capable of another 4 years, that he has the stamina to do the toughest job in America. And the next thing he needs to do is he needs to explain to Americans why our paychecks have shrunk. Why are we buying less food for more money? And then lastly, he's going to blame the Republican Party for the 10 million people that he's allowed across this border illegally, killing 300 people, Americans, every day from fentanyl poisoning, human trafficking exploding. So he's going to go to the blame game tonight, one way or the other. And we'll see. There's other things that we're looking for, but boy, he's got to somehow change the momentum. And I think he has an impossible task before him tonight. And I think America is going to see that.
Yeah, I don't know how he's going to turn around from that. Speaking of immigration and the fentanyl coming in, you guys obviously didn't pass the immigration bill from a few weeks ago that was crafted by James Lankford out of the state of Oklahoma. And the Democrats, that I think, really kind of hijacked that bill and twisted it into a nothing burger. But at the same time, after the killing of the young girl in Georgia just a week or so ago, Joe Biden literally said that the only reason that happened was because he didn't have the authority to shut down the border and that we needed that immigration bill in order for him to have any authority. Senator, I'm pretty sure he already has that power, doesn't he?
Oh, he does, and Americans know that. That is, how dumb does he think Americans are? I think that we all realize that, let's just talk specifically about the Venezuelans. There was a Venezuelan that killed this young lady, and Carrie Lakin, was that her name?
Yeah. Yeah,
Carrie Lakin, and he paroled 200,000 Venezuelans. 200,000 Venezuelans. He flew in 300,000 people on the American dollars as well. This will take decades for this violence to get through America, as we see those 2 million gotaways that are in this country as well. This is the tip of the iceberg. This is why we're seeing 300 Americans die every day from fentanyl poisoning. And we are seeing human trafficking exploding across the country, especially in the state of Kansas. We're seeing more human trafficking with massage parlors than there are Starbucks cafeterias across the nation now. Yeah. These massage parlors are where they're trafficking these people. There's just no way Joe Biden can explain this away.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Is there another bill on the table or at least being discussed right now when it comes to immigration, trying to at least curb some of this temporarily until we see a transition of power, hopefully in November?
I don't see anything with legs on it. Of course, the House has passed H.R. 2, which is the gold standard. Yeah. But Joe Biden has no intention of passing any meaningful legislation that would curb the border. He wants legislation that would grease the skids to make it easier for people to come across the country border, whether it's legally or illegally. So there's nothing with legs about it. It's all a facade. He's just faking. He's pretending that he wants some type of border security. But I've yet to hear Joe Biden say, I want to secure the border. He wants to fix immigration, so to speak, but he has no intention of securing this border. It's a waste of our time even dealing with them. And again, he has the authority to stop the migration yesterday. He has the executive authority to do that right now.
Yeah, what a process. We're talking with U.S. Senator Roger Marshall from right here in the great state of Kansas. Let's talk about appropriations for just a moment. I know that there are appropriation bills being voted on in both chambers over the next week or so, the passing of a continuing resolution for another couple weeks, trying to keep things funded as is. Has Joe Biden proposed an actual budget proposal for the State of the Union tonight? And what does those appropriation discussions look like right now?
Yeah, Andy, you nailed it. We have a broken process. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. This is not Joe Biden's fault. This is leadership on the Republican and Democrat side, on both sides of the aisle, not wanting to go through the budget process as it's described in law. And that's why I'm working hard to come up with legislation with teeth in it that would force us to go through a budget process just like every business in America does, every family does. A month ago, Joe Biden should have submitted next year's budget, okay? And we still haven't done this year's budget. So the whole process is broken. But again, Americans need to realize this is what Joe Biden wants. This is what Chuck Schumer wants. They want these big omnibuses. And then with hundreds of bridges to nowhere, which Americans don't have the time to see in the light of the day. We said this last October, you wait and see. We'll do big omnibuses with bridges to nowhere, hundreds of billions of dollars of money that's really not been looked at. earmarks, with a high number of those earmarks coming from New York and California. Imagine that.
Well, we are already halfway through the fiscal year for this year already, so all the appropriation bills you guys are working on now, essentially we should just continue that conversation to make them happen for next year, because I don't see it really doing anything financially for us throughout the rest of this year's fiscal year.
Yeah, we've got a spending problem. Americans know that. $34 trillion in debt. We're going to spend $1 trillion this year in interest. I'll be presenting to our Republican conference in the next week or two our concept of putting teeth back into the budget process, and we'll see if they're serious about it or they like these huge omnibuses where they get to add on their own earmarks or not. We'll see what happens. We'll see if folks up here are serious about a good budget process or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Last couple minutes here with you, U.S. Senator Roger Marshall here from the state of Kansas. On that same conversation, I know that you're heavily involved with the Farm Bill conversation and other pieces of legislation that we're trying to at least get through in some degree. How are we going with the Farm Bill right now, and is that being tied into any of these appropriations as well?
No, Andy, the Farm Bill's going nowhere. There's some talk over the House of getting something done, but this Farm Bill is really a nutrition bill. The money we're spending on food stamps has tripled since the last Farm Bill was done 5 years ago. It's went from $60 billion to $180 billion a year for food stamps. So when is this president going to stop paying people more to stay at home than to go back to work? At the same time, they don't want a lot of money for the crop insurance program for the farmers. It's less than 5% of the Farm Bill, but they're not wanting to give us adequate resources to help with the crop insurance. And for your listeners, crop insurance, what it does is allows the farmer to plant next year's crop. They don't make any money on it, but they'll make enough money at least to be able to go buy seed and fertilizer and diesel fuel, those types of things. So all we're asking is put the farm back in the Farm Bill. Farmers only benefit from 5% of the Farm Bill. There's other monies in there for rural economic development, conservation programs, but the huge majority of it, 85%, is going to nutrition programs. And just to be, look, we don't want anyone to go to bed hungry. Yeah. And we want to make sure that every American has adequate food. But I think we've just went overboard on that at this point in time. And part of the equation to keeping food affordable in America is to make sure that we have crop insurance so farmers get to plant that next year's crop.
Yeah, amen to that. Last question for you, Senator, and I appreciate your time very much. But on regards to Ukrainian and Israeli funding, I know that would try to be piggybacked with the immigration bill that failed a couple of weeks ago. They tried to run it solo. That didn't work, obviously, as well. Where are we with this latest conversation on Ukraine and Israel?
Yeah, Andy, you know, we're not hearing much about it. I think we're trying to get the government from shutting down on Friday. I bet it shuts down for a day or two, but we'll see. So there's just not much wind. We'll see what the president talks about tonight. I've been very firm that I'm not going to any further funding for Ukraine until we secure a border. Multiple times, 5 times, we put standalone Israel funding in front of the Senate, and the Democrats have voted it down every time. So the Democrats have become the party of Iran. Republicans are the party of pro-Israel. Once again, a clear delineation for Americans decide who to vote for come November.
Yeah, it's very clear on what we're going to see, and we can speculate on who that candidate may be on the Democrat side if Joe Biden ends up, operation fall down, trip down the stairs while trying to tie his shoe commences because the Democrats can't handle him. It's U.S. Senator Roger Marshall from right here in the great state of Kansas. Always appreciate it. Keep up the fight, my friend. I know you guys are working on a lot of stuff. We'd love to get you back on again real soon.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks so much. Be safe.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
24 minutes past the hour. Welcome back into the Voice of Reason. So wonderful to have you with us here for a pre-Friday celebration. Carpe Dienisms all over the place is what we do. Your political therapist breaking down the news of the day in a manner where you feel better about yourself. That's my goal, at least. That's what we do. We do our darndest. Welcome back into it. So thanks again to U.S. Senator Roger Marshall coming on the program. Always great to have him. He's a hard one to get. He's always so busy. But I tell you what, his office is amazing. He's such a fighter in D.C., and we appreciate everything that he's working on. The State of the Union tonight, are you prepared for it? Will you be watching? Show of hands, how many will actually be watching or paying attention to the State of the Union with Joe Biden. I already gave you the preview. I mean, we know exactly what we're in for tonight with his agenda. Is, if you've heard from Karine Jean-Pierre the last few days and really the last week or so, she said how the Biden administration is the most successful administration in modern American history. I don't know how, not quite sure how that one works if you haven't been able to pass a whole lot of legislation, which you really haven't. If Congress was the most ineffective Congress in modern American history, how could you be the most successful president in modern American history? Because you're not supposed to do things by executive order. You're supposed to do things by congressional bills that are actually getting to your desk. And if you haven't gotten any of those, then what exactly have you done throughout your tenure other than raise inflation a massive amount, sitting at near 20% over the past 3 years? So I'm curious on how he's going to try and handle that one. But of course, they lie and they just make garbage up on the fly. So it's not going to matter. He's just going to talk about all the great success, like he's been doing on the campaign trail, his Investing in America tour, talking about all the great money that he spent and how it's not really done anything. Apparently, one thing they are going to work on this tonight, though, is the opening up of a port apparently in Gaza to try and bring supplies in to the Palestinians. Now, I understand the motive, understand the messaging there. At the same time, I thought we were supporting Israel to defeat Hamas, not the Israeli people, but the terrorist organization that is Hamas. That way we could destroy them. We could be done with this quickly, and then we could get back to business of peace in the Middle East and not have a terrorist organization on the borders of Israel trying to kill them at every moment that they possibly can. The other side, I think they've forgotten the fact that Israel had to continuously defend themselves with the Iron Dome, fending off missiles that were shot on a daily basis from Hamas, along with other organizations. They don't care about that. They really don't. They just care about the Palestinian people, which I'm not saying their lives are not important either. But at the same time, we support Israel and we support what Israel's doing. But Joe Biden, desperate to win over the votes, and you know why, is because of after Super Tuesday, the 45,000 plus that voted uncommitted in the state of Minnesota by themselves. That is a very large Muslim population that could swing and fail the state in the election in November for Joe Biden, that he's desperate to win back over the Muslim population. That is going to be his focus, not just in the State of the Union tonight, but also on the campaign trail for the next few months. Watch him. Watch what he does. Watch what he talks about. Watch what he focuses his attention on. It's going to be kind of sort of the border and how Republicans are failing to act and how it's all political because they want it to be destructive so Donald Trump wins and they're sabotaging good bills. And, of course, the focus on the Muslim population, focusing on Palestine. He cannot lose them, because if he loses them, then he's going to lose the election in November. So that will be his focus. You, the American people, the average Joe Schmo, American, just working day in and day out, trying to put the table on your the food on your table, or the table on your food, however you however you eat. I'm not here to judge. Doesn't really matter. But just you trying to make a living on a daily basis, that you are not going to be the focal point of the Biden campaign throughout the next few months. It will specifically be the immigration issue, Republicans evil, and of course the Muslim focus, trying to win over the Muslim population. Again, that's all he's going to care about, because he's already lost you, middle America. He's already lost you, blue collar worker. He's already lost you, unless you're a radical union type that just, you know, does whatever you're told. Then he, I mean, you're just a given, bought for and paid for vote. But if you think for yourself, you've already lost, or he's already lost your vote, and he's going to find those that he can win back over, which will be the minorities that are throwing a temper tantrum right now that we see harassing AOC at the movie theater. So that's more coming up. Stay here.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. When Reason Meets Radio, this is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. Welcome back into it. Reason, Common Sense, Rationale, where the Hoosier-holics gather on a daily basis. So wonderful to have you with us here all over the place. Multiple radio stations and TV, live streaming, podcasting, however you check us out. Welcome aboard the State of the Union tonight. What's the focus going to be? Joe Biden talking about the being the most successful president and administration in modern American history. It's hilarious. Is that true? Okay. Just making sure. Making sure. We're going to see what happens on the campaign trail as well. Speaking of the campaign trail, have you heard Robert F. Kennedy Jr.? We'll talk more in depth about this at a later time, but RFK Jr. now floating the idea of switching to the Libertarian Party. Yeah, that's kind of weird. I know. So we'll break some of that down. But going a little bit more on the libertarian fashion, is that going to help him, hurt him? And what would that do to the two main parties, obviously, with Trump and Biden going into the general election? But let's talk about some election stuff for just a moment here, shall we?
What's trending today?
As you know, now it's time, which we have to have the conversation, and it's good to have the conversation now that we're into election season again. Do we want a repeat of 2020? And regardless of where you stand on what you thought the results looked like in 2020, is there voter fraud? I believe that there is voter fraud. Enough to sway an election? I don't know. But we want to make sure that we're as transparent and as efficient in our electoral process as possible. Look, I come from the state of Kansas. I have to say that I think our Secretary of State does a fantastic job for the most part. I think that the state of Kansas as a whole does a fantastic part for the most part when it comes to elections and verifying elections, verifying our votes, making sure that we're doing things right. And in fact, I've said this many times before, that the state of Georgia after 2020 tried to reform a lot of their electoral rules and based a lot of them off of what we do here in Kansas. So obviously we can fine tune it, make it always better, but I think we're on a good start. But other places around the nation, are we already starting to see voter shenanigans, if you know what I mean? Are we already starting to see the fabrication, the malarkey, the lies of what's going on in electoral process moving forward? Happy to have on the program to talk about this and so much more. She is the chairwoman for True the Vote, which you can find online as well. Catherine Engelbrecht with us. Catherine, how are you, my friend?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on the show. There's a lot to talk about with voter integrity, with the voting process as a whole. But I asked you a little bit off the air here, but are we doing better compared to what we saw in 2020? Are we on the right path to clean up our electoral process in a state-to-state level?
I think that we are. You know, we've had many states make great changes in process since 2020. We've seen states get rid of drop boxes, which I think is a huge step in the right direction. We've seen states reel back on their mat of ballots, which is another great step. We've seen states attempt to clean their voter rolls, which is, you know, a wonderful turn of events.
Yeah.
But the thing that I'm most excited about is that millions more Americans are now awake and alert and wanting to understand their process, the election process, really, you know, focusing in. If something doesn't feel right, they're reporting it. They're looking for solutions. And that's the way change begins, right? First, you've got to understand the problem and be able to ask the right questions. And prior to 2020, you know, while there were certainly people actively involved, there wasn't the national awareness that there is now. So, I mean, poll after poll shows that the majority of Americans believe that we've got big problems in our election process. And so that's, you know, that's the first step in fixing them. And I'm encouraged that we're on the right path.
Yeah, we're on the right path and we're bringing awareness to it. Like you said, you can't fix a problem unless you know that there's actually a problem in the first place, which has been kind of under the surface as a topic or a focus by some elected officials, but not a main focal point. Right now, what do you think the biggest issue or concern is? Is it still the Dropbox issue? Has it been voter rolls not being updated properly? Is it people being registered in multiple states? I mean, what do we need to be aware of going into this election, do you think?
Well, I've long said that the first and biggest problem that we have is just inaccurate voter rolls. I've characterized it as the gateway to election fraud. And that's sadly still a big problem. The good news is it doesn't need to be. Even though we see millions nationwide, millions of inaccurate, ineligible records still on voter files across the country, there are solutions that exist for this that could still give us hope to look to November for more accurate rolls. I mean, the fact is, in private industry, companies out there are resolving identity, residency, and even citizenship, you know, in real time every day. So it's not for lack of data or technology that our roles are as inaccurate as they are. It's just political will. It's become a hotbed for lawfare. And so that's an area that I think we should be concerned about. There's ways that citizens can engage with that. You can find that on our website. A number of different ways to take a close look at both your registrations and your local county registrations if you want to see whether or not you've got problems with ineligible records. So I think that's number one. Number two, and I think is potentially the sleeper issue of the cycle, and that is the potential to see ineligible voters by way of illegal aliens who are being registered to receive social services, and part of those social service programs typically have voter registrations attached, and it's a slippery slope that we are taking a hard look at. We don't want to get too far out ahead until we understand the magnitude of the problem. We hope there's not a problem, but it certainly could be. It could be the Dropbox issue of 2024. It could be massive.
Yeah, it could be massive for sure. There's a couple things you brought up a lot here. Let's talk about the voter registration or voter rolls for just a moment. We had, and I remember a couple years back under the Trump administration, and the only reason I knew about it was because our then Secretary of State here in Kansas, Chris Kobach, who's now our Attorney General in the state right now, they tried to kick off this Election Integrity Commission to try and look at voter rolls, to compare them across the nation to make sure that people weren't registered in multiple places at one time. And they got shut down. The ACLU filed numerous different lawsuits against them and made them essentially irrelevant to where they had to shut down the commission without making any progress. Is that a cause for concern? Is that kind of a red flag of that they're trying to hide something as opposed to actually fix the issue, because they weren't allowed to even talk about the issue of looking at databases of voter enrollment and voter registration just to make sure that they were squeaky clean the way that they're supposed to be?
Yeah, absolutely. It was, I watched that all unravel with just great disappointment, because it could have done so much good, but you're exactly right. The whole effort got tangled up in lawfare, and then Secretary of State Chris Kobach, now your Attorney General, led that path to what should have been a noteworthy outcome. You know, the irony of it is voter rolls are sold all day, every day. It's not as though they are not available, but yet the way that the progressive left reacted to the request for voter rolls from that commission was to slam down lawsuits and say that they would never surrender their voter rolls. And it's malarkey, because voter rolls are regularly, routinely used, routinely sold. But it's just political theater more than anything else. And then, of course, that, you know, when you get dogpiled on with lawsuits, you've got a hard decision to make. And we certainly have faced our share of lawsuits in our pursuit of cleaning the voter rolls. In fact, we just won a lawsuit against Fair Fight in Georgia when we helped citizens across the state identify over 364,000 ineligible records. And there's a process in Georgia and in most states where citizens can file records with their county that they believe to be ineligible and ask the county to take a look. And so within just a few days of us initiating that project, Fair Fight sued us. We stayed in court for 3 years, ended up in a trial, and we recently won just a month or so ago. And this is unfortunately where the conversation is right now. We're going to have to get some big case law on the books. We're going to have to stay in the fight, and we're going to have to expose what's really going on.
That's what we got to do. We're talking with Catherine Engelbrecht. She's the chairwoman for True the Vote, which you can find online at truethevote.org. You can find all the great information there on how we can start cleaning some of this stuff up. In the last election, obviously, afterwards, and there was concerns about voter fraud. There was concerns about random ballots happening, in random places, or voting or polling places that just randomly shut down when they were counting the ballots and we didn't see anything. We saw all these documentaries come out. You know, Dinesh D'Souza came out with his talking about the ballot harvesting and drop boxes and all this stuff that happened that was a cause for concern. Is it, you know, proof positive that caused some type of voter fraud? Not necessarily, but it leads us towards that road to question things. Those types of games, I don't think they'll be able to play again, because we're aware of them. We're trying to make sure that doesn't happen again. Are you more confident in the system now than you were in 2020 because of that that awareness, like you mentioned earlier?
I am. I mean, we were the subject of Dinesh's movie 2000 Mules. We're the group that provided all of the geospatial information to point out the exploitation of the drop boxes. And, you know, I always like to, whenever we talk about the movie, I always like to say, we never intended to make a movie. We intended to turn all of our evidence over to law enforcement and let them do what they should have done, which was take a, you know, as you said, take a closer look.
Yeah.
But everything was so political at the time that no one was willing to do that. I believe that, you know, it's been a long 4 years, but we've as a country, we've learned a lot of lessons. And I think that the American people recognize, hey, there are some problems that don't make sense, that don't add up, that are not consistent with the way that we manage other processes in our personal lives or in our government broadly. Why do we twist this election process up to be so complicated?
Yeah.
And you know, many states have made, as I mentioned, many states have made good strides. We've seen states get rid of drop boxes and,
yeah, we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, huge step in the right direction.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, Catherine, hang on the line. I want to continue this conversation when we come back. We've got to take a hard break. We're talking with True the Vote, truethevote.org. How can we make sure our votes in our electoral system is working smoothly in 2024? We'll do some more of this when we come back. Stay right here.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. Last couple of minutes on the program. So great to have you with us here on a pre-Friday celebration, State of the Union night. Ha! Looking forward to seeing what that one entails. Have your adult beverage games ready to rock and roll for the night tonight. Should be a lot of fun. Right now we're hanging out with Catherine Engelbrecht. She's the chairwoman for True the Vote. truethevote.org as we talk about trying to bring transparency to the electoral process, making sure everything's running smoothly. You had mentioned the social programs that many of the illegal aliens are receiving, which obviously that's a lot of individuals coming over, 10 million over the past 3 years under Biden alone, not to mention the 300,000 plus that he's been flying into the country that we just found out about recently on top of the border and just sending them to random places in the country. There is a push in some states to try and legalize them, obviously make them citizens or try and give them amnesty and to allow them to vote. Do you think that's the goal at the end of the day, is if they can't do their shenanigans in the process itself, let's just add more to the voter rolls and just make sure that they're voting our way?
Well, I think so, yes. And while it's long been observed that bringing in illegal aliens and theoretically, having the Democrat Party reach out to them and cultivate them over time, sort of groom them to be Democrat voters, in theory, is how we've often heard, you know, that the immigration sort of strategy would work politically. However, I've been very concerned of late. We've been at the border and doing some videos. We've had a lot of this up on our social media, where people coming across the border are saying that they are political asylees, and therefore that confers to them, according to the NGOs that they are working with, that confers to them instant citizenship and that they do intend to vote. And you might not worry about that because you could just say, well, there's no truth to that, except when you read what our U.S. code says, which in the fine print makes clear that there are no penalties for a non-citizen voting if, at the time they vote, they believe that they are a citizen. And I know that that sounds strange, but it's in black letter law, as they say, and I'm not hearing anybody talking about that right now. So we're taking a close look at that. I want to make sure that we are correct in our reading. But if we are correct, and I believe that we are, that's great cause for concern.
That is a great cause for concern. That seems like a very wide open type of law just to create the gray area for them to get away with whatever the heck they want to, which is most federal law right now outside of the Constitution, and they're trying to manipulate as much as they can. But man, it's like the intentional, hey, we're just going to put this breadcrumb in here, and that way, until someone catches it, we have to clarify, we're just going to kind of let it roll.
That's exactly right. And in this, you know, in this culture of lawfare that we find ourselves in, this is not an argument that you want to be having after the election. If we need to test the constitutionality of this code, let us test it now and get it settled before November.
Wow. I was not aware of that federal code. But if you, as long as you think you're a citizen, you may not have to be, but as long as you think you are. Now, I'm wondering how that would work, voting like a provisional ballot sort of thing and us counting it until we actually go through the law process to remove that vote, which is going to take probably 6 months to a year to do anyways. And by that time, it's null and void and it doesn't really matter because the election's already done. I mean, are they just banking on the system to fail like this?
Well, you know, you think about the fact that, you know, in 20 some states, you don't have to show photo voter identification. You can walk in and vote. So you've got those states that are easy. Then you have other states that just require some form of ID that doesn't confer citizenship or that doesn't require proof of citizenship. That's that has been argued at the Supreme Court and affirmed that you don't have to show proof of citizenship. The argument being, oh, well, no one would register if they're a non-citizen because if they perjure themselves, then they would not be eligible for permanent citizenship status should they ever, you know, seek that path. But what we have come across in code, in the code that I'm referring to was passed in 2010. Again, this is all very new for us as well. We have been really taking a hard look at all of the avenues, and you're one of the first that we've spoken with about this. But our attorneys, are just as concerned as we are. Let me put it that way. So all the signs are there that this could be a weakness that could be easily exploited in a really massive scale.
Sure. Well, and as the Democrats always say, never let a crisis go to waste. So they're going to try to exploit everything possible, especially with how high up Trump is in the polls right now. The Democrats fearful, terrified that Trump's going to come in, be the authoritarian, and execute his political opponents, like they've said on the mainstream media. TrueTheVote.org. Go and check out all the great information. Be up to date on what the heck's going on with the electoral and voting process. Catherine, thank you so much. Keep the fight up. We'd love to get you back on the show again and chat soon.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right, there it is. A lot of great information there. I'm going to have to process a lot of this to figure out what to do next. We'll get her back on the program again real soon. Until then, enjoy the State of the Union. We'll break it down tomorrow on the program. This is The Voice of Reason. I'm Andy Hoosier. We'll see you on the radio.